Hi, I'm Skating PJ, and this is Let's Talk About It, the Skate Ontario podcast, where we're going to get up close and personal with members of our skating family who have a connection to Ontario. So, let's talk about it. Hi, everybody. At Skating PJ here again with another episode of Let's Talk About It. I am thrilled. You have no idea how much to be welcoming Beverly Smith, longtime friend, longtime Globe and Mail sports reporter, and somebody who knows the Ontario stories backwards and forwards. Bev, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, we're going to focus a little bit on Ontario, but before we do that, because you are an Ontario girl, I want to know, where does this fascination with figure skating, where did it start?
You know what? I had a cousin from Manitoba who was my pen pal, and she skated pairs, and I watched her skate novice pairs at the 1972 Canadian Championships in London. I was only there for one day. She was a novice pairs, and her partner dropped her. And they finished last in novice pairs, and then we never saw again. But, you know, it's because of her. That's where I started. And, of course, just by osmosis, you know who Tollar Cranston and Karen Magnuson are. And, yeah, I'm all up there.
And I can always make Ontario connections to everything. Like the summer I summer skated, and Karen Magnuson was there. And I finally got to meet her backstage at the 2010 Olympics. It was like a dream come true because she was my idol growing up. So what about you, skating idols? Who were they, aside from your cousin who got dropped? And when you said you never saw her again, you mean you never saw her again as a cousin or as a skater?
I never saw her skate again. I did see her after that. She lives in Manitoba, so it's a little harder. But I, you know, if I ever went through Winnipeg, I'd stop and say, hey. But yeah, of course, Tollar has been in my life from the beginning, and we did become good friends, and he invited me to all his parties. But, you know, a person I really, really have always liked and respected all these years, it's partly because we go back such a long way, as Brian Orser, because my first Canadian championship was in 1981 in Halifax. And that's when he upset Brian Pocar and won his first senior title. And he won eight of them. And I saw all eight of them. So we go back a long way. And I remember him when he was a skinny little guy who needed glasses. And of course, he didn't skate with glasses, so he would not see the rink boards. And then he got contact.
Oh.
Yeah, he couldn't see the
rink boards. No kidding.
They were a blur.
So let's go back even further, because I know that you've got stories that you've written along the years about different people, but certainly relationships. I want to talk about Barbara Ann Scott. You know, Canada's sweetheart, had her own doll. My friend and yours, Barb Strain, maintained that young girls who were born in the late 40s, many of them were named Barbara in Canada as a result of Barbara Ann Scott. She was a delight and unexpected. Any Barbara Ann Scott stories?
You know, the funniest thing is that my name is Beverly. People that I've known for years will look straight at me and call me Barbara. And it happens so often that I answer to it. But yes, and of course, Barb Strain is probably one of those people who was named after Barbara Ann Scott. And I knew her pretty well for a very long time. And she actually invited me to go down to her place in Florida. And I never really ended up doing it, but she invited me in, and she was quite a girl. She was, you know, behind the scenes, she was quite a girl.
You know? She was exactly, you know what I mean, and had a great sense of humor. And with those twinkly sort of eyes, you thought that you were going to be dealing with somebody sort of very sweet and sedate. And she was a rascal.
Yes, she was. I still remember she would come to Canadian championships, and she'd be sitting up in the audience, and all of a sudden people would become aware of who she was. And it was like a rock star. Decades after she did what she did. She was a rock star, and she always dressed,
you know, most beautiful. Oh, I'm so elegant all the time. Do you remember Canadians 1998? We were in Hamilton, 50th anniversary of her Olympic gold medal win, the only one for women so far for Canada. I say so far because Hope Springs Eternal. But they were driving her around in some sort of old car on the ice, and the car got stuck. And there she was, you know, she'd been doing a lot of the glad waving and stuff from the car. And she just smiled there. I mean, she just was extraordinary. We miss her. We miss all the Barbara Ann types of the world, that's for sure. What do you think about skating then? What was it that sort of attracted spectators versus what it is today?
You know what? I think there was a real sense of community in the skating world back then. You know, there was an attachment. People had attachments to the sport that didn't die. And they knew everybody and they knew everything and they were all in it together. And I think that reflected in the crowds. You know, you treat them like family and they'll be there. And I think it's quite different now. I just think it's quite different now. It's much
more. Well, I think that social media has a lot to do with it. You know, there are people who are, as I had a friend who used to say, those who know the least know it the loudest.
Yeah.
And that I think is sometimes what happens in terms of skating and in terms of, I also think that in today's world, things are a lot more intrusive. I don't believe that we have a right to know what's going on in skaters' private lives. I think that private life is private life. If you want me to find out if they've landed their triple axel or if they're working on a quad or whatever it is, I'm happy to do that. But who they're dating in their private life, what they're doing, you know, as far as, you know, hobbies, school, whatever, unless I have permission to talk to them about it, I don't believe that it's really my place. As a journalist, where do you sit on all that?
I certainly use social media.
Of course, me too.
But, you know, it's a crazy animal because I made some kind of statement about Taylor Swift after the Grammys, and it went viral. And I just sort of threw it out there and it went viral. And everybody, of course, was misunderstanding what I said. It was not what I said. But it ran to more than 2 million views I had.
Good grief.
Because I made a comment on Taylor Swift. So, you know,
it was Swifties.
No, Swifties, yeah. So it's just a crazy animal that has got a life of its own. And you have to be careful what you say on it, because it lasts out there forever. I've had people bring up and comment on a post I've made a couple of years ago. I'm thinking, where did they even find that? They must be closely examining everything I've ever said from the beginning of time or something. But it's quite a strange animal. And so I'm careful what I post on there.
Do you find that there are certain stories that have just captured your imagination over time?
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly. Tell me some Ontario examples.
Where do I begin? I don't know where to begin because there have just been so many of them.
Names?
Yeah.
Okay. What about some of our outstanding jumpers? So you mentioned Brian Orser, there was Don Jackson, there was Vern Taylor, and then we've got some creative legends, Jeff Buttle, Patrick Chan, all kinds of, let's talk about the men. Let's go by discipline. So some great men in figure skating that have come from Ontario. Anything jump out at you?
Patrick Chan, I met him when he was 8 years old. And I was particularly friendly with Osborne Coulson, his coach. Osborne would call me on New Year's Eve and wish me Happy New Year. And I'd be in bed and he'd still be up and he was ancient. And I was at an event in Mississauga, the Hershey Center, and it was called that then. And he says, I have this boy. And this little guy came over and he could barely see over the boards. And that was Patrick Chan. So I've known Patrick Chan since he was a very little boy, and to watch him grow up and do what he did under the guidance of Osborne was pretty amazing. And of course, he's doing the Stars on Ice tour and he's going to step aside for a while.
Exactly. What about Jeff Buttle?
Jeff Buttle, I saw him when he was quite young too, and I noticed him. And so he was a wonderful skater. He had arguments with the quad jumps, but he was a absolutely beautiful, accomplished, wonderful skater. And I know that I was there when he won the bronze medal at the Olympics in Turin. I was there.
You know, you've got so many stories of when you were there, that's for sure. So with people like Jeff Buttle, though, I mean, you know, Jeff Buttle from originally from Northern Ontario, just trying to sort of make it in the world. You, when you're writing stories about athletes, what is it about an athlete's story that you're able to so beautifully craft it into something that the rest of us can read? Are you always looking for a nugget? Like, what is your process like?
It's human interest. It's a story that goes beyond what they're doing on the ice, and that's what attracts me. And that means that anybody can read it. If not just skating people can read it. I've always written for the general public, not just the skating public. And so you have to, reel them in. And everybody understands difficulties that people go through and what they're overcoming, and the details are everything.
What about Barb and Paul?
Oh, Barb and Paul.
Barb
I
Underhill,
started.
Paul Martini, world champions.
I remember I started covering skating when skating had been in a lull in Canada, and they were part of the group that was coming back up, along with Brian Orser and friends. They were just an amazing pair. And I remember when they had such a hard time at the Olympics in 1984, and they finished seventh. And it was just, and she had troubles with her skates beforehand and couldn't get things right. And it was just horrendous. And then she went back to her old skates and came to Ottawa. And Ottawa, the place was full. The place was full. And when they skated their free program and they did everything perfectly, the place just erupted, and you could feel. You could feel the stands move with the noise that came out of there. It was just the most amazing thing. That was a fun event because partway through the lights went out. We were watching the
I
ice
heard about
skate with Torvald Lundin, and we're sitting there and the lights went out. So they had to wait to get the lights back on before Torvald Lundin could come on. But that was an amazing Canadian championship. That was really fun. And Barbara and Paul were part of that. And when they went on to become pro skaters, they were fabulous pro skaters. They figured it out. They figured it out right away, what brings people inside. And they were just the kind of people to be able to do that. And Barbara herself is very special. I remember at the Olympics in Salt Lake City, and everything was going crazy over the judging scandal. And I was supposed to go off to a rink, a practice rink way up in the hills to find Warren and Kratz. And I knew I wouldn't find them, but they sent me up there. And Barbara was there too, and she was working for CBC. We sat there and started talking, and we both started weeping with the pressure that we were under. And she gave me a little trinket. It was like an angel to put in your pocket. It was an angel in your pocket, and she gave me that there. So she's special.
Do you know what the relationships really are special? So, you know, you're sitting in the stands, you're watching an event unroll, 2002 Olympics. There's an interesting event to be sure, but the 1984 World Figure Skating Championships. It's Ottawa. You're there to cover a story. You're not there as a spectator, but you're certainly watching what's going on. How do you keep track of the highs and the lows? In a performance for you then to be able to translate into a story, like what is happening in your world, in your mind? You're aware of the clapping? Are you on your feet too? Like what's happening?
Journalists are not supposed to be cheerleaders, so we cannot get up and clap. We sit down
Right.
and not clap, and we're supposed to be very objective. So I when they skate, I'm writing down what they do, and I write my own little details down, and it gives me a framework to go back and think, oh yeah, they did that, because when you're going through it and you're seeing so many, it all becomes like a blur. So I write down what they do and figure out, and but you also have to have your sort of eye on them, not just what they do, but how they do it. So you have one eye going one way and the other eye going the other way. And so I go a lot by feeling what I see out there, not just what they do.
You know what I've always appreciated about you is that you have been somebody to acknowledge that you know a lot, but you don't know everything. And you're somebody who has gone to experts in the field to say, listen, I want to talk about this performance or this skater or that in order to better understand it. How does that play into what you think of as important or not in terms of storytelling?
You know, when I started, I had a sports editor ask me what else I wanted to do besides horse racing. And he called me in and I said, oh, figure skating. And he said, perfect. That's just what I was hoping he'd say because we don't have a figure skating writer. And so when I went to the first few events, I'm watching all this stuff going on. And I don't really understand what they're doing. And I had somebody there telling me, oh, they're doing a triple toe loop here and oh, they're doing this. And I thought to myself, you know what? I don't want to depend on somebody else. I need to figure out everything I can possibly find out, not just learning the jumps. I learned the jumps without ever being a figure skater. But I want to find out everything there is about this sport. And that involves everything. That involves everything they do and every, you know, and, you know, over time you develop the ability to know what works in a story and what draws people in. And usually it's the emotional side. And I'm always on the lookout for the emotion that pulls you in. Same thing with a song. You listen to a song. I pay a lot of attention to the music that skaters are skating to because I have a particular interest in music. I've always been a huge music fan. So I always pay particular attention to what they're skating to. And when I'm doing a story, I always look and I always do a lot more research than what you see, you know, from a conference call or something. I go back and I do research. Okay, what are they skating to and what is that? And where did it come from? And who sung it and why? And how does that tie into what they're doing? It makes a huge difference when I bring the music into it.
I know you are a huge music fan. Are there any programs musically that have stood out to you?
Oh, there are millions of them. There are millions. Anything that Virtue and Moyer did and how they did
it. Me too.
I go back and I watch them and I haven't watched them for a while and I think, oh my God, they were so good. Same thing happened.
The best.
Same thing happens when I watched Yuzuru Hanyu. When I was going through that, of course, he was tops and he had a big reputation and he was this and he was that. And then you don't see him for a few years. And then I started just this year, started watching his programs again. And there was one program, short program he did that was choreographed by Shailene Bourne. And that was always my favorite program. And I looked at it again. I thought, oh, my God, that's good. I'd forgotten.
Yeah,
that's good. And you compare it to what's going on now and you just think, oh, wow, no wonder he had the accolades he did.
You know, there are certain names that will live on in perpetuity. Hanyu was one. I've got another one for you, another nice Ontario kid, Elvis Stoiko. Certainly did a lot to put the sport on the map. Tell me about your sort of impressions and any kind of stories that really brought his magic home to you.
When I remember when he first came out and Kurt Browning had been the star and this little Elvis guy came out and hardly anybody had heard of him before. And he came out and all of a sudden he was there like in a big way. And Kurt, right from the beginning. So he was a major jumper and he had a different mindset from everybody else. He was into martial arts and he dealt a lot and he thought a lot about the mind. And I remember when he retired and he was down in Mexico for a while trying to find himself. And I interviewed him and listened to him. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm way more impressed with you now than ever because of the way he thought and reasoned out things and how he saw himself in the world and what he needed to do to, you know, figure out what his life was going to be like now. And he's just an impressive thinker and very analytical and, you know, very different from Kurt, but really interesting all the same.
Absolutely. Sandra Bezick, I'm throwing out another name at you.
Wonderful. She did
I agree.
She choreographed a program for an American skater, Lindsay Thorngren, at U.S. Nationals. And I hadn't seen Sandra's work in a long time. And I didn't know she'd done it at first. but it was stunning. And then I saw that it was Sandra's, and I thought, wow, we missed her because that's magic. That is magic work. And where does it come from? I don't know. It just keeps coming and coming, coming. But we hadn't seen her for a long time. So she's, so creative and so intelligent. I have a lot
There's
of,
something in the water here
I think
for
so.
choreography.
Very creative people live in this country. I don't know
I
what it
think
is.
so.
I don't know what it is.
Well, when I think of Lori Nichol, I think of David Wilson. Jeff Buttle, of course, is doing lots of great work. There are just some real standouts. So Shailynn Bourne, of course, an Ontario girl. Tell me for you, what do you think it is for the spectators when they're watching a program? What are they experiencing?
Well, it's everything because how they do what they're doing is what draws people in. And you can make the audience stand up by what you do on the ice, how you do it on the ice. You can absolutely make an audience stand up, and if it's choreographed the right way, and if you listen to your choreographer, you can, the program will go by in a minute. It'll seem like a minute because you're so wrapped up in what they're doing, and it's interesting every step. That's what Virtue and Moyer did. They just,
Do you have a favorite program of theirs?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of one because they were all so good. They were all.
I can. Carmen.
Oh, Carmen, yeah, that was good.
Oh,
And
please.
you think, oh, here we go, Carmen again. But oh no, they made Carmen their own. They completely made Carmen their own.
What I loved about them, and I've said it before, and I was talking to Caroline about this very thing, what I love about them is that there are probably, even without me looking at YouTube, there are probably six, seven, eight programs I can name right now, and I can recall in my brain. They are all so different, and the personality and the character is something that's super important to me. And that's in a way what Patrick Chan was able to do as well. Classic, beautiful line, all those kinds of things were definitely in play, but to be able to express music in a way, moving forward to sort of more modern people, Piper and Paul, Piper Gillis, Paul Poirier.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because if you're talking about creative people in Ontario, Carol Lane and Eurus
Yes, exactly. Yep.
do these amazing programs that are like concept pieces. They're not just pretty shapes. They are concept pieces that are extremely sophisticated. And I'm in awe of her every year. Piper and Paul are doing a program on the Stars and Ice Tour that is to Procol Harum, Whiter Shade of Pale. And I heard that and I thought, oh my God, that's one of my favorite songs. And of course they would do that one. Of course they would do that. And I'm so impressed by what she does.
Well, and it draws you in. Every program draws me in.
Tell a story. They take you on a
Yeah.
journey.
I love it when I connect to something emotionally. When I'm watching skating, that's my favorite thing of all. And when that happens, and I'm no longer thinking about what I have to get at the grocery store or what else I can do, because you often split your brain in two with what you are watching and what you should be doing, maybe. That's the very, very best part of skating, as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
Do you think that in general, skaters are born, or do you think that they're created through coaching and whatever other influences?
That's a good question. I think some skaters are born with something, and a good coach will bring it out. I think that's true. And there are some skaters
I
who never get over the hurdle. They just can't get there. No matter how many trips.
Are there so very good question about hurdle, because it was my next question. Are there any skaters? I've forever been pulling for skaters all the way along. Emmanuel Sandu comes immediately to mind, where I just go, please just do what we know you can do. Have there been any skaters for you that you've been following, covering over the years that you've just said, gee, I would love it for you, skater, not for me, but for you to be able to have that successful moment.
Oh, there are tons of them. Roman Sadovsky, it always seems to be there hanging in
I
and
love you.
lucky. beautiful skater and never quite getting there, although, you know, he's had some good moments and there's a lot of things in his way. He's one. And Gabby Dillman has had so many difficulties in her way, and I don't know how she ever gets through them, but apparently she's back on the ice and working.
I know, which is great.
She's working well.
Her,
but it's not,
you know, her energy.
She skated fast. She was fast and she just barreled into things, and she had Lori Nicol choreographing for her, which was a plus. And but she always had physical problems and
injuries.
Emotional problems that she had to get through, that she had to deal with, and it's held her back. But on a good day, I mean, she was third in the world at one time. So,
yeah, and I think that she could be there again, because again, the talent is there, the work ethic is there,
and there's the big
I think that it's I think that there's lots to sort of kind of celebrate. Do you spend any time looking at juniors?
Oh,
like when you're at a competition?
Are you kidding me? For years and years and years, I watch all the novices and the juniors, and I always have, because I get a kick out of watching the kids, and they sometimes go on to do other things. I always make a point. I don't go to a Canadian championship and just go to the seniors event. I come early in the week and watch them all. And when they had all three levels, that was great for me. I don't want to have to go.
Yeah, I used to love those too.
Yeah. So I watch everybody.
You think that skating has gotten too complicated for people to follow?
I mean,
the 6.0 system was complicated for lots of people. What does a 6.0 mean? But I've had lots of interactions with fans along the way who say, I don't really understand the numbers. I don't really like it. If you say 75, what does that actually mean? Is there a better way?
And every year it changes because they make changes to the rules. And so it was originally supposed to be able to make skaters comparable to another and from one year to the next. And you really can't, because everything changes and the scoring changes and the values change.
Yeah.
And you can't really compare it one year to the next. I don't know if there's a better way. But it is so incredibly complicated. And it sounds like there are going to be a lot of changes this year too. So God knows what that'll be like. I'm sort of nervous about that. And you got to explain it all again, and you can't explain it simply. If you're writing a story, you can't explain it simply.
And, yes, and there's a lot of detail.
You lose your reader when you start explaining things, and instead of just, I think they need to bring some of the artistry back, because after a while, skaters can look the same. They're doing all the same thing, trying to get points, rather than have their movement go with the music that they're skating to. They're going for the points, and they have to go for the points because that's the way the system works. Let's throw in some more quads, and well, quads aren't just worth as much as what they used to be, but yeah.
So interesting about all of this, though, I didn't mean to interrupt, but with all of the changes that are happening, and I have to say, I give ISU credit for trying to find the way forward, because it's a lot of experimentation. Will this work? Will this work? Will this work? But I have to say, through all of the changes, through all the ages, for the most part, now listen to me when I say that, people, for the most part, the right people end up first, second, and third, for the most part, regardless of the system that is used in order to evaluate them. So as you know, I often, as I'm looking at skating, as I'm watching, I go, well, I have no idea what the number will be, because numbers are not my thing. But I do know that this person should be head and shoulders above the next person in whatever way. So I'm glad to see that it's on for the most part, it doesn't seem to matter the system. Ice dance is a little bit more tricky. Synchronized skating is more tricky as well, because it's in the same sort of vein as ice dance. It's a little bit more nuanced. So what about synchronized skating? I'm a huge fan, as you know. Do you spend any time watching synchro, or have you watched synchro over the course of time? Ontario's been a huge leader.
I have, but it's very difficult to write about a whole team. And one story. It's great.
Yes.
Write about a whole team. And when they put it with the Canadian championships as a whole, there's just not enough time to develop anything. There's just not enough time. So right. I tend to leave it out. I leave it out because I can't go everywhere. I can't be everything. I can't watch everything.
And do you see the value of a team sport in skating?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you a team sport person or a solo person from when you were a kid?
Doesn't matter to me. I have no preference. I've covered everything.
I'm a solo sport person.
You know something? I have covered everything in my life. I have covered Olympic sports of all kinds, summer and winter. And it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me at all. I've covered rowing teams. I've covered the men's eight, the women's eight. And you get to know all the people on the team. And then it makes everything mean more when you watch it. So I tried to tell people about that, or I did. And there are team
events. Do you know what? One last memory before we go. One last memory.
You know, Elizabeth Manley in 1988.
Speaking of Ontario.
She had very few good skates until she went to Calgary, and she was really sick before she went. And there was a press conference for Katarina Witt, and every male sports editor and male sports writer wanted to go to that, whether they were writing about it or not, and the place was full. When Liz Manley came in and they had a little scrum for her, there were three of us in the scrum. There was me, the guy from the Toronto Star, and a reporter from the Calgary paper. And all of a sudden, Peter Dunfield started talking about Katarina Witt's costume. And he says, "We're here to skate in a dress and not a G-string." And when he said that, I listened, whoa. And I thought, there's my story. So I wrote it all about that. And the other reporter, and I forget which one did which, mentioned it at the bottom of the story. And the other reporter didn't mention it at all. So this became the story of the games. And that quote has been quoted a million times since, that quote from my story. I never get attributed. It's never attributed to me. But it's been quoted for years and years and years and years and years. And there are a few other comments that I made in the stories that I've seen in a New York Times story that they've swiped from my story to talk about Peter Dunfield talking about what Katarina Witt did in the ice, and it wasn't very strong skating. Of course, Liz could do everything. And that was kind of fun. That was my first real, I broke stories at every Olympics I was at, and that was the first one. That went crazy. That went crazy.
That is an amazing memory. And you know what, Liz Manley, you were the beacon and still are for women's figure skating in Canada. People are just, we want to have more Liz Manley and all of the other Olympians that we've had who've come from Ontario. Do you know what, Bev Smith, thank you so much for talking to me today. This has been just wonderful. What a trip down memory lane. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's fun.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Let's Talk About It, the Skate Ontario podcast. Don't forget to follow us on social media. I'm at Skating PJ. Until next time, bye for now.